It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hi everybody, how's it going? It's me, Elise Swopes. Welcome to my podcast. We're on podcast 21. That's my lucky number. I really like that number. How are you? I hope you are well. I am chilling, relaxing, maxing. I have been cooking a lot. I have been organizing my office, getting my new apartment all settled, and just trying to be as productive and also unproductive as possible. I just want to play video games and read books and relax and watch TV and watch movies I haven't been able to see. So I hope that you're feeling well and that people in your family are happy and healthy. And there's just a lot of chaos and a lot of destruction and sadness that's going on. And sometimes no way that we can escape it, but I hope that everything is working out for you. So in more positive news, today we will be talking about three different topics. We're going to be talking about emotional intelligence, productivity, and fake news. Something we see quite often, especially in this time, fake news is pretty huge. There's a lot of chaos and fear, and there's a lot of different news that's being spread around. And so how can you help yourself navigate through all of that? So I'm going to give you a few tips and tricks on how to defeat the enemy of fake news. And then we'll also, like I said, talk about emotional intelligence and productivity. So please don't make fun of me, but I remember watching The Bachelor a few years ago, and there was this girl named Taylor. I remember she was telling this other girl, Corrine, that she did not have emotional intelligence. And I was just kind of thinking, like, what is emotional intelligence? And it was kind of the first time in a weird way where The Bachelor taught me some kind of psychology. And, you know, to be honest, if you do look at The Bachelor, it is kind of this interesting human psychology experiment in a way, but that's beside the point. So emotional intelligence is this thing. It's like the capacity to be aware of, control, and express your emotions, and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously. I don't think I can say that right. I'm not going to try. Judiciously and empathetically. So basically, are you able to handle your emotions through work, business, personal, and relationships? The reason why Taylor asked Corrine, or didn't even necessarily ask her, but told her that she wasn't emotionally intelligent, is because Corrine was very just unaware of how to approach situations. And she really had a lot of issues kind of just fitting in. And emotional intelligence stems entirely from not so much what we're born with, but how we experience our lives until this very moment when we have to use our emotional intelligence. Now, emotional intelligence may seem simple and straightforward, though the actual process itself can be a challenge, like I said, to a lot of people. And so there are a lot of free quizzes you can take online to figure out if you are emotionally intelligent or not, and what kind of level you may be at, and what you need to work on. The thing about emotional intelligence is it's not like your IQ level or something like that. It's not like at the rate you can think. It's something that you can learn and grow with and become better at. And I think there's something really cool to be said about emotional intelligence, because it involves your personal and your social life, and it involves your self-awareness and your self-management and your social awareness and your relationships. And you just really have to put, I guess, emotional intelligence on the forefront, because it does affect a lot of different skill sets that you may have, and it will affect a lot of different experiences and opportunities, and it will help you be more emotionally stable in your life and in your work life. So a few ways to be more emotionally intelligent is to find a book. Now, I read a book. It's called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. I found it on Amazon. It's by Travis Bradbury and Gene Greaves. And it's basically just a guide of emotional intelligence. And it is kind of tips and tricks on how to be more emotionally intelligent. Now, it's not to say that these are directions. It's giving you examples of how people became emotionally intelligent in certain situations and how they didn't use emotional intelligence. And it's a very, very interesting, helpful book, and I suggest that you take a look at that. Now, my first tip and trick on emotional intelligence is to understand that self-awareness is simply the ability to know your truest self. And some of those strategies may include, like, quit treating your feelings as good or bad. You've got to really approach your feelings as just as they are. Don't put a judgment, don't put a name, put anything on your feelings. Just accept them for how they are and read through them and live through them. And you've got to also notice the ripple effect of your emotions, realize the ripple effect of your actions, and when you are in an emotion or when you're doing something, realize how it affects other people and yourself. Another way to be more self-aware is to feel your emotions physically in your body. I've chatted about this quite a few times on my podcast about how when you're feeling your emotions physically, you're really just being really present. You're smelling everything around you. You're feeling everything inside of your body. How can you feel? What do you taste? What can you see? And when you're in that moment, when you're more present, you can feel what's actually real instead of what's just in your mind. And sometimes your mind can play a little bit of trick on you. So feel your emotions physically so that you can be as aware as possible. Knowing what pushes your buttons is huge as well, and being aware of who you are and what you react to mostly. So know what your triggers are is a huge key to being more self-aware. Another key into being more emotionally intelligent, and I'm pretty sure there's about 11 more suggestions underneath the self-awareness. So you'd have to do further education, buy that book that I was talking about, or read online a little bit more about how to be more self-aware. I'm pretty sure I also have a podcast about it, I hope. If not, I'm going to probably do another one on it. But those are just a few ways to be more self-aware. Now, another thing underneath emotional intelligence is self-management, okay? And that's another way to be more emotionally intelligent is to be better at self-management. And self-management is the ability to use your awareness of your emotions to do and say the right thing. And this has 17 suggestions within it. So those 17 suggestions include breathing, taking a breath before you react, and making sure that you're counting to 10 if you feel some type of way before responding and reacting. My cat is just out here meowing. Man, once my office is finished here, it's going to be so nice because hopefully the sound will be a lot better. The sound in here is ridiculous. There's like someone doing construction across the street. There's like this loud rolling thing. I don't know what's going on. Whatever. Anyway, so before you react, count to 10. And also, you've got to smile. Laugh more. Have more fun with life. Don't take things so damn seriously because nothing is that serious. Not much is that serious, at least. There's a few things on my list that are pretty serious. Spiders is one of them. Death of my family is another. I don't know what else much is up there, but that's up there. So think about your gratitude and what you're happy about and what you're practicing and what you're making sure that you are happy about is consistent in your life if you aren't smiling or laughing enough. So smile more, laugh more, and don't be so angry right away for the things that you don't understand. Take some time, be patient, and respond instead of react. You've also got to visualize yourself succeeding. This is a huge factor in self-management, is making sure that you are holding yourself in a way where you know that you deserve greatness and goodness and wholesomeness. You know, I think that's what matters about visualizing yourself succeeding. It's not about seeing yourself in this expensive house or, I don't know, with like this, on this amazing island with the best butlers and whatever. I mean, it's about visualizing the feeling of feeling good in your own body and feeling good to be in a place where you feel comfortable. I mean, that's what success is it's not the glitz and glamour. Success is being happy and being comfortable and being okay with where you're at without feeling stressed or manipulated or like pressured, you know? I mean, there's just a freedom with self-management that comes with a lot of accountability and a lot of visualizations. Now, you also want to think about learning a valuable lesson from others you encounter. That's something really great, though, is just being able to learn through others' experiences is huge. Not having to experience them yourself all the time. Experiencing your own things are very necessary, but just take a valuable lesson from the others you encounter and talk with them and learn and have an open mind. Mindful listening is huge. Just not having to have an answer before someone finishes what they're saying. You'll learn a lot and you'll change a lot from that. And that's just a few ways to be more self-managed and more aware in your self-management and to say and do the right thing. And like I said, there's 17 of those within just that strategy. But another part of a social intelligence is to be more socially aware. And social awareness is kind of the capacity you have at which you can kind of sense how others feel and how they, you know, how they build relationships with one another. How do you build genuine relationships? This is kind of what that is. And there's also 17 approaches and strategies as well with that. And so some of those include greeting people by name, remembering people's names, something that I am horrible at. I need to practice being better with names, and I know that, and I've made a huge effort to do that, and I think that's something that is huge and emotionally intelligent in itself. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm just saying that for somebody else, you know, because if you feel like, oh, well, I'm horrible at that, I mean, just being aware in that and knowing that you may be is a step forward in analyzing it and becoming better. So just be aware, be positive with yourself, be promoted in yourself to say, I'm bad at that, but I'm so excited to get better. And so, yeah, be excited about getting better, be excited about growing, be excited about the emotional intelligence issues that you may even encounter, because that is just as much more life than we get to keep trying at and keep just being excited about every day. I get excited every day when I wake up because I know there's so much more for me to know, so much for me to grow with, so much for me to do. And I used to think that my depression really stemmed from what I lacked in this kind of negative way. But now when I see what I lack, it like gives me inspiration. So use that to your advantage. Now, I don't know how we got to greeting people by name to that. I don't know. So yeah, greet people by name. Make sure that that's a huge social awareness thing that you're practicing now. You've also got to watch people's body language, because that will really tell you a lot about certain ways that if someone doesn't want you in a conversation, they're probably going to kind of turn you out with their body or something. I mean, or if they're uncomfortable, they're probably like fidgeting or whatever. Watching body language to me is about looking for cues to connect with someone. If I see someone's nervous, I'll be like, oh, are you nervous? Me too. This is crazy, right? Watching your body language and other people's body language is huge for social awareness, because it's a very telling thing for connection or disconnection or just overall just how to help and assist somebody in an empathetic way. So to be more socially aware is to be more attentive to the little things. And you've also got to develop a kind of like a go-to question for people, a go-to kind of conversation, perhaps. What are you great at? What can you talk about a lot? What can you be passionate about that other people may find interesting as well? And keep that in your back pocket. Keep that in your little knapsack to connect with other people, to make conversation, to just be comfortable. I mean, there's nothing worse than having to talk about stuff you don't know anything about. So have that backpack of questions ready to get. Now, you also want to think about living in the moment. Living in the moment, like I said, you want to be mindful, aware, just attention to detail, living in the moment is going to provide you that. Because when you're thinking about what you got to do later, or you're thinking about what happened in the past, there's no way you're going to have enough attention span to be able to know what's going on in front of you. You're going to be missing a lot of opportunity and a lot of experience. That's life. All of that is life. So make sure you're not missing life by trying to be too focused and concerned with things you have no control over, right? Another way to be socially aware is to step in other people's shoes, you guys. Come on, we gotta step in other people's shoes more often. We gotta make sure that we remember how other people are experiencing and internalizing certain things we say and certain things we do, because the world does not revolve around us. We've gotta use tact. People forget about tact. I see it all the time in this business, on Instagram, everywhere. Tact is not being understood. Tact is the ability to convey a message while respecting someone else's feelings and experience. And this is my opinion. This is an example. If you're trying to work with Nike, you wouldn't put in your bio, "I've worked with Adidas and Nike," because enough tact would tell you that you would just need to put, "I am a Nike ambassador," or "I've worked with Nike," like, because you want to do more work with them. Tact is knowing that Nike's not going to like that you put Adidas next to them, okay? Tact is knowing that, like, if you say, "Oh, I'm so poor," next to your friend who is, like, actually poor, and you're actually doing fine, but you just, like, don't have enough money for, like, whatever you want, right? Like, that's not tact. You've got to be mindful of other people, because you might offend them and you are hurting their feelings, and that in turn will hurt you. It will. Hurting other people hurts you. You can pretend like it doesn't, but it does. You've got to be a good person to other people because it makes your soul feel nice. It makes you feel good inside. Yes, social awareness is huge when it comes to emotional intelligence. Now, I said there are 17 approaches to that, and I was not lying. Those are just a few. Now, closing out on the emotional intelligence advice is the relationship management. And relationship management is simply just the ability to make relationships last long and make them work. Now, a few of the strategies include avoiding mixed signals, avoiding things that don't make sense. And the way to fix that is just to communicate properly. Communication is key. Explain everything that's going on. Explain every step. Explain your idea. Explain how you're going to do it. Explain when you're going to do it. Explain where you're going to deliver it. Explain. There's no reason to not say what you're going through. If something's going to be late, tell somebody. Just be real, because realness will really save you. Being silent is confusing for other people. They're just going to assume the worst. Everyone assumes the worst. Everybody. It's just the way the brain works. So don't let anybody assume the worst. Tell them your best. And that means making sure that you are building trust with people and you're showing that you care. You know, you're showing that you care by showing up, showing that you care by doing what you can. And you're making sure that you're tackling tough conversations and explaining your decisions, not just making them. You know, you gotta communicate. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Communication is the issue behind so many situations. It's the worst mix-up possible because it could be avoided. We've got to make sure that we're taking advantage of our ability to communicate, and don't be afraid to communicate. Just know that it will always be better to do that. Now, don't be thinking you can just be emotionally intelligent overnight, all right? This takes a long lifetime practice, but it's okay, because that's what life is all about, is practice and consistency with bettering ourselves all the time. So go online, find some emotional intelligence quizzes, look up the book I talked about, and have some fun. Productivity, productivity, productivity. Now, productivity is a problem for some. For me, it used to be, but I've practiced quite enough at this point to, I don't know, keep myself on task, keep the momentum I started, to hold myself accountable. And I think what happens is, for a lot of productivity problems, is that we just wait for inspiration to spring. We wait to start for something to tell us we should, when we should just start now, right here, right now, right? And that's it. That's the only option you have. That's only right now. That's it. That's productivity to me, is no excuses, no nothing. It's right now, presence. And a few of my tips when it comes to productivity is to, one, make sure that you have a reasonable to-do list. And I've talked about this quite a bit when it comes to distraction and all that stuff. Just making sure that you have a reasonable to-do list, that you're not overwhelming yourself with a lot of stuff that won't fit in your day. Time things out. Put things in an hour. Put things into 2 hours. Have at max 5 things that you do in a day. And when you're done doing them for that hour, you're done. That's it, right? So make a reasonable to-do list. And you'll learn over time what works, what doesn't work. What works for somebody else may not work for you in that moment. So make sure that you are kind of figuring out, or almost kind of tracking, like, what are the patterns in your work? What are the patterns in your life? And what are the patterns that in your industry? Just make sure that you're following those patterns of productivity. You're not just doing stuff willy-nilly because you think you should. So do what's important first and make sure you say no, delegate. And you got to make sure that you're setting small goals, breaking down things, setting them into pieces, into assets, and you're creating a timeline. You're creating steps for yourself. Just simplify everything that you possibly can. And that includes your space and your email and your life. I mean, try to simplify as much as you can, because it's going to allow you more productivity to do things that matter. And another way to be more productive is to keep one goal in mind at a time. I heard about this concept. It's like the 90 minutes for 90 days concept. Is spend your first 90 days in the morning on something for 90 days. And if you're not finished with that thing in those 90 minutes of every day for 90 days, then maybe it's not for you. But you should be done with something by then, if that's your goal. And that's a good way to build a habit for yourself as well. So do it for 90 minutes and do it for 90 days, if that's like a goal, an accomplishment you need to do. And that will allow you at the end of that 90 days to go on to the next goal, go on to the next step that you need to do. And something to keep in mind for that day, that time, like I said, is just to relax if you finished early, to take breaks in between, and to make sure that you're not just doing things to do them. Spread yourself out, spread your to-dos out, and spread your life out. You don't have to rush so much. Take your time. What you want to last forever should not be rushed ever. And like I said, look at your patterns of how you work. What are your peak hours of productivity? What are your peak hours of activity within your email or in your space of creation? What have you learned throughout being more productive and trying to put yourself in a routine? What sticks out? What's obvious? What do you need to work on? What can someone else help you with? And rearrange and make sure that you're reflecting on the time you spent so that you're not wasting consistently. You've got to reflect. You've got to have those moments of reanalyzing, reflecting, rearranging, because things are not always going to be the same. You've got to be okay with change. It's huge. You've got to be okay with change. Now, phone calls are way quicker than email, way quicker than text. So to be more productive, make sure that you're not just going back and forth about little things here and there. Have a phone call with somebody and talk something out, whether it's good or positive, or negative or bad or whatever. Just make sure that you are communicating properly, because it's going to help accelerate your productivity and your time management. And consider, what can you automate? What can you do that can do itself? If that makes sense. Do something that is just something that's tedious that you do all the time, that you can delegate to something that will do it for you. So do a little bit of research and figure out what that is for you, because I promise there's always something for something on the internet. And this is a huge step for me to be more productive, is just having a method to my madness, is just tracking my schedule through Asana, which is like an organizational app. It's really helpful for my work and to communicate with my management so that they know what projects we have, what deliverables we have, the PDFs we have in there, contracts, all types of stuff we have in there, so we can resort back to it in a timely, helpful manner. And you want to have things in your calendar as reminders. Those will really help you stay on task. And something that is huge for me is making sure that I write things down immediately when I think of them. If I have an idea, I'm running to my pen and paper and I'm writing it down, and I might come back to it later when I need it. So there's going to be instances, of course, where you're doing something in the moment and something pops up and you may need to do it. If it takes less than 5 minutes, get on it. But if it doesn't, write it down and go back to it later when you're finished with what you're doing. Just make sure you write it down so that you don't forget. You also want to make sure that you are resting and taking care of yourself, having that self-care routine. I consistently talk about this, is that having a self-care routine is going to make or break you. You got to set the tone for yourself before anybody else sets it for you. And that includes educating yourself, making sure that you're staying on top of reading and writing and being better at your own craft. You know, you don't want to wait for somebody else to give you an opportunity. You want to create opportunities for yourself consistently. I spoke about it a little bit, but being okay with change is huge when it comes to productivity, because things are going to happen and you can't just be so stuck on the method of getting to your goal, but you can be stuck on your goal. And be okay with getting out of your own way in that way. Sometimes we can be in our own way because of our expectations and because of what we really want for ourselves, but sometimes things will change and different experiences, different opportunities will guide us in the way that we won't know is necessary, but they are. So be patient with yourself, be kind, and be mindful and aware of your why you're doing things and what you're doing them for, and that'll really help with just keeping a more positive mindset with being more productive. And just remember what it feels like to complete a goal. Remember what it feels like to do something that you have accomplished. So rejuvenate yourself with those memories. Rejuvenate yourself with the memory of even finding the lessons in your failures. Just remember that things will be tough and things will be questionable, but when you stay consistent and you give yourself that amazing momentum to continue, then it starts getting a little bit easier. Now, the thing is, it's not, nothing is getting easier. It's just that you're really just getting stronger and you're growing and you're evolving and you're getting better. So allow yourself to grow through your productivity, and it's not going to be perfect, but you can try. And last but not least, we're going to talk about how to defend yourself against fake news, because fake news is suspicious and it's a problem. I have been on the internet for a long time. I'm not going to say I'm this person who was on when it was invented. No. But I have been on since Google and all these things, and I have seen the rise of social media, and I feel like I have a decent sense of knowing what's real and what's not. And I pride that on the time I've spent on the computer, which is a long investment, many years of my life, many hours, many begs from my parents, right? But it's led me to now where I get to help people every now and then, kind of show them the way, so to speak. Because I'm a very skeptical person. I really don't believe very much. I think everything is a little weird every now and then, and I think it should be questioned. And I think that that's how you should approach all news, all information. But I also think I'm going to give you some very specific tips as well. So how to combat fake news is to always be skeptical. And consider the source, first and foremost. Always find out where the source is from. Check the website, check the email, check everything. Check the URL. Look at the rest of the sites and posts. Click a little bit further. Look at their about pages. Look at their other things. And Google them too. Google the author, Google the information, fact check it on Wikipedia or Snopes or reliable experts that you know, friends or family who are actual educators or experts in that field. Or you can go to factcheck.org I mean, fact-checking is as simple as doing a quick little Google search, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I've found out so much information by just Googling it, finding out it's from one source and being like, okay, that's fake. That's not real. So, yeah, be skeptical. Now, you also want to make sure that you're reading behind the headlines, beyond them. Let me rephrase. Let me go back to the first thing now. When I say you got to consider the source, you got to look at the URL, okay? And I just need to say this very quickly. You need to make sure that it's the authentic source, that it's a .com. It's not from a different website. Type in, if you get an email from somebody and it's so-and-so at blah, 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 .com, right? Or blah, 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 something.net, whatever. Copy that URL at the end of their email address and paste it into your website and see where it goes. Does it go to somewhere authentic? Does it go to somewhere weird? You gotta make sure that you're triple checking what you're getting your information from, okay? So I just wanted to make sure I said that. Now, when you're going beyond the headlines or the tweets or whatever, that means that you're not just reading the headline. You're not just getting angry about what the headline says or a tweet says or something. You're actually reading through the story. You're reading through the thread, maybe 10 different tweets down, because someone is going to say this is fake or this is where this is from or that's not real or blah, blah, blah. Or they're going to say it is real and they're going to give their own experience. You got to make sure that you're sifting through with just a few more clicks. Don't just accept what you're given because it's probably not enough. It's not enough to trust. Read the comments. Read the story. It could be a joke. It could be a bot. I mean, the thing about a lot of this stuff is it's sensationalism. It's just trying to get your emotions. It's clickbait and timely. It's very specific. It's coming for you very specifically, and you're angry. It's probably because it wants you to be. So you've got to be aware of what's triggering you and if it's purposely doing it, because you could be getting caught up. I saw something specifically. I saw a post from a bot, and it was talking about how the word Karen is like the N-word now, right? And a lot of my friends were like responding to it in like an angry way, and like then Karen was like trending on Twitter. But it was a bot. It was a bot that was like starting that conversation, a non-existent person that everyone was yelling at, and now it's trending, now it's a thing. That's how stuff becomes something, is when everyone's like, what is that? I'm gonna yell at this, I'm gonna be at it, and there's not a single place it came from. You gotta be aware of, make sure that you're reverse searching things, make sure that you're checking your emotions, checking the date when it happened. And you got to be careful for these words like breaking news. You know, breaking news is always problematic because it's trying to stir something. It's trying to get your attention. It's trying to do something. Don't react to the breaking news. Don't tweet it. Don't do all that stuff because it might not be factual. We've learned time and time again, after all these things happen, all these breaking news stuff, that sometimes even the most trusted news sources, ABC, all these places, sometimes they'll give false information too quickly because someone heard something somewhere. You're not the news. You don't need to be the source. So you got to make sure that you're cutting off that source immediately before it gets crazy. You don't want to be pushing more false information. Don't be fake news yourself. Be careful of divisive headlines because they're trying to be divisive. That's what they're trying to do. If you are inclined to respond to it, that means you're giving it energy to continue. That means they're getting their clicks, their money, their things. Don't give it energy. Fake news continues because, one, people believe it, and two, because people hate it. And we've got to find a good middle ground. Now, another way is to realize that if the quality of the graphics is extremely low, there's probably an issue with it. I sometimes get, because what I do with my email is I can't stand when someone's like, I sent you an email, it must have went to spam. I'm like, no, I don't have spam, because I turn that setting off. I get spam still in my inbox. And what it is I'll get like a weird email, and then there's no actual like words I can highlight. It's just a weird low quality image with all the words on it and stuff. It's like an image of an email that could have been typed out. So that's sketchy. I'm definitely not going to respond to that. I don't care about that. No, no way. It's weird. So that's spammy. Low quality images are spammy. Spelling errors are spammy. All caps are spammy. And if it's unhighlightable, like if you can't highlight it, it's spammy for sure. So people make fake news for all types of different reasons. But there's very specific four reasons, which is for self-interest, for malicious intent, for financial gain, or for just genuine just belief. Some people might not know that they are making fake news because they thought a friend told them or someone else told them. It's very easy to be confused. I've done it myself, and I try and I am willing to never do it again. When you spread fake news and you're like, oh damn, I messed up, then you know it won't happen again. You promise yourself. So just be aware of the reasons why those happen, and don't spread it, you know, fact check as much as you can. And if you do see someone spreading some fake news, be kind, give them the information they need and move forward. The least we can do is just help one another and be understanding. And if we can just be more understanding of our own confusions, then we can understand everybody else's. I think it's a weird time. There's a lot of information being thrown out, and the internet is still pretty new. You know, we're still learning how to be humans on it and to survive and to just use it to our advantage and to be healthy with it. And it's not going to be an easy road, but it's one if we can be aware, if we can be present, if we can practice enough habits to break the negative cycles, I think we can make it something very approachable and exciting and just full of opportunity. So thank you again for tuning in to my podcast. I hope that you take the most absolute care and that you are happy and healthy and that things, there's my cat saying bye. Thank you again. We'll chat soon. Bye-bye.